been just seeing over the last few weeks, there's lots of so-called wisdom that cries out all around us. And Lord, if we're not wise, we follow it and we wreck our lives in so many different ways. And at the same time, your wisdom cries out, as you said in chapter 1 of Proverbs, cries out in the street, in the marketplace, giving instruction and insight into how to live, to save our souls from destruction, to honor you with our lives. But Lord, even as your children, there are times when we don't hear or we're not listening. We get ourselves tangled in webs of destruction and mess. So Lord, today, would you allow us to hear from your word the call to receive correction and rebuke and instruction. And Lord, how that will bring life to our bones and to our soul. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've not been, or maybe you kind of hit or miss last couple of weeks, we're walking through the book of Proverbs, looking at different themes or topics this summer. The idea is kind of like summer school, right? Maybe remedial and getting some basic understanding of some major themes or principles in the Bible. And unlike other books of the Bible, especially as we deal with New Testament, where it's, you know, there's doctrinal issues and then applicational issues of how we're to live. With Proverbs, what we're doing is we're looking at the wisdom of that we find in this book, and it really is, it's advice for practical, godly living. And so these messages really are a lot more applicational driven than maybe some of the other messages we're used to, where it's more digging in and trying to figure out. But I'm hoping that at the end of our time in Proverbs this summer, that we won't have just heard messages, but that we'll really have inputted or put into practice what Proverbs is saying, so that it'll strengthen us as believers in the Lord Jesus and help us as we confront the wisdom of the world. Now, let me say this. This morning, as we look at this this issue of Iron Men, really speaking to believers. If you're an unbeliever here today, you may not even know what that means. But if we're going to talk a little bit to you towards the end, but this really is a message directed to us as believers, as those who claim the name of Christ, as those who say, I believe in Jesus. So if that's you here today, I want to challenge you, because we're going to talk about an issue that we don't often like to address or deal with in our lives. It's one that maybe makes us a little bit uncomfortable, but it's one that we need to seriously consider to help us progress in our Christian maturity. So let me start with this idea, and it's the concept that the Christian life was never meant to be lived in isolation, but rather in community. You know, you don't ever really see Christians that are supposed to do it on their own, right? You're supposed to come together and be with other believers. And there's reasons that are given in Scripture. One, for encouragement or for joy, right? The famous passage in Hebrews about, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit, but to encourage one another all the more as you see the day of the Lord coming, right? So one of the reasons we're to get together is for encouragement, to stir each other up in our Christian walk. Another issue is for cooperation and for ministry. All throughout Acts, you saw that early on in Acts, you see the early churches, they're pooling their resources together, they're spending time together, they're doing life together. And then you get into Corinthians and other places, and it says, God gives us gifts to serve the body and to advance the gospel, right? We're a body, the toe, an eye, an arm, but none of these parts work independently. We all come together as the Lord fashions us to make one body. There's a Florida Gardens body, which is part of the larger universal church of the living Christ's body, right? So there's this idea of cooperation and ministry. But we're also to live not in isolation, but in community, so that we help each other grow in our faith and maturity, right? I mean, you get together with other people to help you grow, to help you learn, to help you progress down the path into spiritual development. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily clings to us, and run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith, right? So we're called to run this race and to consider those who've gone before us and to consider those who are around us. Listen, when we live a Christian life in isolation, what happens is we're hindered in our spiritual growth. We become hindered in how we're progressing in our spiritual maturity. And let me give you an example when it comes to like working out. I know most of you probably think I would be like a CrossFit champion, right? I mean, with my body. But there are days, if I'm honest, when I go to the gym, if I'm there by myself, which is usually often because people stand me up and they don't show up, but if I'm there by myself, I may not push myself as hard, right? Oh, I got to do 3 sets. Maybe I'll just do 2, or I'm tired today. I'm just going to skip that one, right? I mean, you find yourself getting what? Lazy, you maybe slack. Even the best and the most dedicated person, if there's not somebody there, that image, right? Encouraging them, yelling at them, whatever word you want to do, helping them, doing it together with them, they may become lazy. But you put that with the workout partner, then you're going this road together and you're doing sets together and you're encouraging one another. You kind of feed off of each other, right? There's an encouragement there. It helps you to progress. It helps you to get stronger. Well, that's true for us as well in our spiritual walk, which leads us to our passage in Proverbs chapter 27. Look over there. You can just read on the screen. It's really just a short verse, and we're going to look at other passages as well. But consider this for a minute. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. What does that mean? What's it mean? Well, I mean, the basic idea is due to friction, and I'm not a scientist like Brad or Jeremy or some of you others, right? But the general idea is this, that the friction or the pounding of one iron upon another iron, this rubbing, this polishing, it sharpens. Like knives, you can sharpen knives by other knives, right? Use metal to sharpen metal. This iron is often used to sharpen. Sometimes we do it by, we heat up the iron, right? You've seen those people, you get the iron hot and then you're banging it with a hammer, but so it's malleable, it's palatable. I mean, you're able to shape it and to form it. So what does it mean for us in a theological or a Christian maturity perspective? As this iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. Well, in our lives, this abrasiveness, this friction, if we're honest, is necessary for us to grow in our spiritual development. Hang on. Y'all just leave it. Go back. It's necessary for us to allow others to rub us, to sharpen us, to beat on us, to bang on us, to put us in the fire a little bit and to mold us. If we're honest, if we want to grow from dull to sharp in our Christian maturity. So for us then, the idea of living together in community with other believers is calling us to live in such a way that we allow others to speak into our lives to sharpen us, to encourage us, to make us sharper. So what Proverbs 27 really is getting at is this idea of accountability in some ways. And see, that's the word we don't like as believers, accountability. We just asked right now, how many of you would say I have an accountability partner? I have somebody, some of you do, but not all of you, that you have somebody that you're allowing to beat in your life, to sharpen you. Like iron sharpens iron, that they're able to come alongside of you. And the reality is, many think, I don't need an accountability partner, I've got the Bible. But it's like working out, isn't it? Some of us, when we have the Bible, we read the Bible, but we may not always do what it says because we don't have somebody come alongside of us and encouraging us to do it, to keep faithful, to remain strong. So we get slack, we get lazy. And you see it because you see the American church is struggling more and more, living like the culture, struggling with immorality, not living according to God's word. Whereas if we lived more in a community relationship where we had people who spoke into our lives, sharpening us, maybe we wouldn't fall so much into the ways of the world. So what we're going to talk about really for a few minutes is accountability as believers. So the question then becomes, what is accountability? I mean, honestly, what is accountability? There's a slide up here for you. This isn't any kind of like great definition, but it gives you an idea. I mean, being accountable means being open. And you might just jot down some notes. Look, if you just listen, you're going to walk out of here remembering maybe 10% of what we talk about, right? But think about this. Accountability, being open, transparent, honest, vulnerable with another believer in such a way that you allow that person to speak correction, insight, rebuke, and even challenge into your life. Does that make sense? That's really what accountability is. It's being open in such a way, as iron sharpens iron, that you say, look, I'm open before you and I'm allowing you to talk with me. Cause a little bit of friction in my life so that I can become sharp. To tell you hard things. To offer reproof. To give some correction. You know, that's what Scripture is for, right? I mean, 2 Timothy 3:16, remember what it says? All Scripture is breathed out by God, is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. But again, there's this difference between knowing the Bible and having somebody hold us accountable for what the Bible says. Lots of us know what the Bible says, but we still, from time to time, we walk and we struggle and we don't do what it says. But if you have somebody who's coming alongside, who's challenging us, then maybe we become a little bit sharper. Now, I stand up here every week and we go through the Bible and we talk about what the Bible says. So there's a little bit of a sharpening there. Don't just hear the Bible, but do this. You go to Sunday school classes and there's some of that as well. But really, and I hear this all the time, what is most helpful for you is that one-on-one conversations, those small group conversations. You see it even in the Gospels, right? Jesus would preach, and then what would the disciples do? Later on in a small room, they would come to Jesus and say, Jesus, what did that mean? What is that? How does that really apply in my life? What am I supposed to do with that, right? And I think for many of you, and for me, it's helpful to have these people come alongside of us. Proverbs is full of examples telling us the call to be open to rebuke, correction, instruction, accountability. Look over there with me. I'm just going to jump through a couple real fast. I'm not going to give a big explanation of each one of them, but you can go back and think through these. But I want you to see this idea of accountability, this idea of being open for another to speak into your life isn't just some random passage in the Bible. Even in Proverbs, you see it over and over again. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. And you, as so many Proverbs, you can look at it from different angles, the one who's doing the action or the one who's receiving the action, right? Proverbs 9, 8, do not reprove a scoffer or he'll hate you, right? If you try to correct somebody who doesn't want to be corrected, they just get mad, right? But reprove a wise person and he'll love you. So if you're wise, you what? You'll be open to this rebuke, reproving, correction. Proverbs 12, chapter 1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates reproof is stupid. Yeah, the Bible said that. That's the word there. Meaning, if you're not open to somebody speaking into your life and offering correction, you're dumb. You're a fool. Proverbs 15, 31, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell with the wise. Meaning what? If you're willing to listen to what other people are saying, especially somebody that you've given that ability to speak into your life, you will walk in wisdom. Proverbs 17:10, a rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Right? You beat on a fool, you can whip them, spank them, put them in timeout, do whatever disciplinary issue you want, But if it's the heart issue, it doesn't matter. But a wise person, if you speak truth into their life and they're willing to receive it, is so much more beneficial to them. Proverbs 25, 12. Like a gold ring or an ointment of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. To have somebody speaking into your life is more valuable than precious gold. You see what he's getting at there? Here's another one. Proverbs 28, 23. Whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. Honestly, if you're true, would you rather somebody say to you, oh yeah, you look great, as you're walking out of the bathroom with toilet paper on your shoe, or would you like for somebody to say, oh, you got a problem? I mean, that's an easy example, but that's what he's getting at, right? Somebody's got something on their face. I mean, you look at them and you don't tell them, and they're mad at you because you didn't tell them. Why didn't you tell me I had something in my mouth, on my teeth, in my face, right? Husbands, right? Proverbs 29, verse 1. He who is, and this one is kind of like the big catch-all. He who is often reproved, yet stiffens his neck, will suddenly be broken beyond healing. Do you hear that? If you don't listen when somebody's coming into your life and speaking truth and trying to help you see the error of your way, and you continue to ignore that, you will experience destruction. That is why it is so valuable for us to say, Lord, I want somebody to speak into my life. I want to be accountable. I want somebody to come alongside of me and walk this Christian life, not in isolation, but together with them so that I can grow to be sharp and in maturity. So, think about this with me for a minute then. What are some of the benefits of having this iron sharpens iron relationship? Next slide. What's the benefit? One, it holds us accountable, right? I mean, that's the big picture here, but think about it for a minute. It confronts laziness or slothful attitudes in the Christian life, right? So if you allow somebody to be an accountability partner, an iron sharpens iron partner in your life, they're going to confront you about laziness. And it's not just sinful things where we think about like adultery or that, but what about this? What about like, hey, have you been sharing the gospel recently? Who are you investing in? Right? I mean, those types of things I know I'm supposed to go and make disciples of all nations, but you know what? Most Christians don't ever do that. We're not sharing the gospel, right? But what would it be if you had a pastor or a friend or a relative, somebody that came alongside of you and said, what? Hey, how's it going this week? Look, there's a group of us pastors that get together once a month, about six or seven of us, and the challenge is holding each other accountable. Are we sharing with other people? Are we seeing baptisms happen, right? And it's churches all in our network, so it's a group of people. But that way we don't get slothful, we don't get lazy in our Christian life. There's this accountability factor. You see, it doesn't allow us to ignore or think wrongly about what the Bible says because we have somebody speaking into us, challenging us. The second benefit of this accountability is it shows us things that we don't see in ourselves. Everybody's view of themselves is distorted. Right? I mean, honestly, the way we see ourselves and the way the world sees ourselves, it's not the same. I don't know how many times y'all have made fun of me. Right? I don't even know that I'm doing that, but you see it, and that's an easy example in our lives. But it shows us things that we don't see or don't know about ourselves. There's a difference between somebody being a critic and somebody that you are intentionally allowing to speak into your life. Hey, guess what? I get a lot of criticism. I'm just going to be honest. A lot of it I just kind of like let roll off my back. Not all of it. Some of it hurts. But there are certain people that I've allowed the right to speak into my life. And if they say something to me about the ministry, about my life, about what I'm doing, I take it seriously. Because they see things in myself that I don't necessarily see in myself. Right? So maybe you don't realize it, but maybe you're harsh in your tone, the way you speak to people. Maybe you don't even know that. But you allow somebody to come alongside of you and they say, hey, you know what? I just want you to know that sometimes the way you communicate with other people is not with grace and truth, but it's vindictive and it's hard-natured. Really? I didn't know that. Right? It allows somebody to speak into you. Sometimes we don't notice our tone, our language, our actions, and we need somebody to share with us what we don't see in ourselves. So it shows us things. A third benefit of accountability would be this: it provides a friend to carry a burden with you. Isn't that the good thing about what he says in Galatians? Just think about this passage for a minute. Galatians 6 says this: "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You see, when you have an accountability partner, you have an iron sharpens iron relationship, it allows somebody to come alongside and help you, carry it with you. You don't feel like you're all alone and this is your issue that you're struggling with. You're able to have somebody you can say, "Hey, I'm struggling with this. Okay, let me pray with you. Let me walk with you. Let me be the person who you can call or be encouraged by when you're dealing with whatever issue it is." Make sense? You're not alone. You see, the benefit of that is things that for so many people, they're hiding in the dark because there's shame or there's fear, all the while God is saying, look, the way to true freedom is to have forgiveness and light. And so if you walk together with another and you're like, look, I'm struggling in this area. I have a hard time. I just struggle lying, or I struggle with the way I speak or whatever. And they're able to pray with you and to encourage you. It helps you to have what? Growth, spiritual maturity. So then maybe the question should be asked, what are the types of accountability partners? Who should you have? Well, an obvious connection would be husbands and wives. Hopefully, if you're married, you're able to communicate with your spouse in ways that maybe you don't communicate with anybody else. Allison knows things about me, and she speaks things into my life that nobody else has the right to do. Or even knows. You don't see me at home, or you don't see there's different things that happen and occur, right? And a spouse often has that intimacy that you allow them to be somebody who can hold you accountable. But with each one of these relationships, there's positives and negatives. The negative to that is sometimes we may not really be able to share. Sometimes there's things maybe that you're afraid that if I told them would hurt them, or if there was something that was going on, it would cause some kind of rift. Maybe it might not be the best to share, at least at this time. So maybe that leads to this. Maybe accountability type would be older believers with younger believers. The Bible says older women do what? Mentor and train younger women, right? Same thing. Older men invest and disciple and train younger men. So maybe a relationship that you need to seek in your life is maybe there's a godly guy, an older man, or maybe there's a younger guy in the church that you know is looking for somebody to come alongside and to walk with them. And there it's the same sex. And so as an older lady, maybe you're able to help minister and hold accountable a younger woman who's just newly married or newly mom or those types of things, right? Or guys, you're able to say, hey, you know what? I know what it was like to be single and waiting to get married, or I know what it's like to have the struggles or the frustrations of work, and are able to walk alongside of you, right? But the dangers here is sometimes there's a gap. Older people don't always understand younger people, and younger people don't always understand older people. And so sometimes the things you're struggling with, they may not even understand. Another option might just be close friends. I mean, none of this stuff is like mind or earth-shattering, but again, if we would do it, we would be better along in our Christian maturity. So a friend, maybe it's somebody in your Sunday school class, maybe it's somebody in your family life group, maybe it's somebody in a women's group that you go to on Tuesday or Wednesday, right? Somebody you've built relationships, but you get together with a close friend, somebody that you feel like understands you, you can open up, you can share your heart with. The danger with this is you get together with friends you don't always what? Hold each other accountable. You drink coffee, you have fun, you talk about things, but you become afraid to ask the tough questions. Why? Because you're friends. You see, so having somebody who you're able to speak into your life, it's a challenge to find the right person, and maybe it's different people for different things. Maybe there's certain areas you have your wife or your husband, that's you're accountable in certain areas. Maybe somebody else, it's a close friend, and you're able to have those kind of connections with. But what about this next question? What sorts of things then should you look for in a spiritual partner, this iron sharpens iron kind of relationship? Well, obviously, you want somebody who has spiritual wisdom, right? You don't want to just pick somebody because they're your friend, but you want it to be somebody who knows the Bible and doesn't just know the Bible, but knows how to apply the Bible. Somebody who's going to say, yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I understand why you think that, but that's not what the Scripture says. Look, none of us want that, really. But how beneficial would that be in our life? Right? If you had somebody who said, you know what you're doing or what you're saying doesn't line up with what Scripture says. I love you, brother, but you're wrong. But that person doesn't just need to have spiritual wisdom, they need to be a confidant. And by that I mean somebody who's not going to gossip, somebody who's not going to go around and reveal secrets. And you know, because if somebody, let's say you're in a relationship, some kind of accountability, you're sharpening one another, and somebody begins to open up their heart with you, the last thing they want is for you to go do what? Tell somebody else. See, that's the fear that the evil one puts in us. If we tell somebody something in our life, everybody's going to know. Isn't that the great lie and the distortion, how the evil one keeps us trapped in our sins? We can't really get help. Because if I told somebody I was doing those things, that person would think different of me or would feel ill about me. Or what if my Sunday school class knew that's what I did? I lied at work or whatever the issue is, right? So instead, we just feel guilt and remorse. So this iron sharpens iron needs to be somebody who is a confidant, somebody who you know you can trust, somebody you can bare your soul and express things, but also somebody who's humble and gentle. And by that, not prideful, not arrogant, not somebody who's going to think, gosh, why in the world? I would never do that. Why does this person struggle with this? This is so simple of a Christian thing. Why don't you do this? Right? No, what you need is somebody to say, brother, I love you, but even more, Christ loves you, and Christ offers forgiveness, and he says, look, go and sin no more. So, look, let's walk together. Let's do this together. Let's do life together. Let's be in community together. But I love you too much. I'm not going to let you continue to do those things, and I'm going to hold you accountable, and I'm going to sharpen you, and I'm going to be that friction, and I'm going to beat on you a little bit, but I want you to know I love you. And just as you have things going on in your life, I got stuff going on in my life as well, and it's, look, I understand because we're all sinners and we all struggle with sin and we all struggle with the flesh. So look, I'm going to pray with you and I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to commit myself to you, right? That kind of grace and humility speaking into your life. Which leads really to just a last question for us, and that's this. What must you do personally if accountability really is going to work? If you really are going to say, all right, I want an iron sharpens iron kind of relationship. I want somebody to speak into my life and talk to me about things maybe I don't see or hold me accountable for some areas where I know I'm struggling and maybe I'm lazy or slothful. Well, there needs to be a humble spirit to receive correction. Because if you're in a relationship, you've got to be willing for that person to look you in the face and say, you know what? What you're doing is wrong. Who here, I mean, that's hard, isn't it? It's hard in a marriage when your wife tells you you were wrong. And you know you were wrong, but it's hard. I mean, so for us, in the context of this accountability, I mean, there has to be this humble spirit on us, not pride or not denial. Because if we have pride in our heart, well, I didn't do that. That's not what I think. That's not what I'm doing. Then you're never going to really get sharpened and grow and reach maturity. There needs to be this humbleness that says, look, I'm letting you speak into my life, and I'm going to receive what it is you're saying as I test it according to Scripture. There's also the reality of openness to confront issues and make changes. Look, you can get an accountability partner, you can get an iron sharpens iron relationship, but if you never really share your heart and you don't share what you're struggling with and you don't get honest and real, it's not going to work. Right? If it just stays surface, and it's a bunch of platitudes, and it's, oh yeah, you know, this week was pretty good. I shared with 37 people, and, you know, I read my Bible 7 times a day. I mean, if that's really what you're doing, then say that. But you know what I mean. If you're not willing to be honest and genuine, if you're not willing to confront changes and not willing to take into consideration and implement what you're hearing, then it's really no good. And a third would be this, an openness when you're failing or struggling. So, there's an individual in this congregation at one point, not here today, not here really any longer, who struggled with pornography. And that individual had the right to call, get in touch with me at any time when that temptation was there. Now, for that individual to pick up the phone and call me in that very moment is what? Maybe humbling, embarrassing, whatever the issue is, but there was an openness. I've got a struggle, I've got a battle, and I need somebody right now to pray with me. And that individual, and not just because I prayed with them and talked with them, and it wasn't just a one-time thing, but that individual started having victory and success. Why? Because there was a willingness to be open, a willingness to get help. And again, it doesn't just have to be these major things in our lives. It could be this, you know what, I was harsh with my family or my wife. You know what, I lied again at work, or I've been stealing, or you know what, I've not been doing what I'm supposed to be doing in my Christian. I mean, I don't know what the, I mean, we just often always go to like really big things. But really, all of us have these, the issues, the things of the flesh, the gossip, the all those types of things that are in our lives that we could use somebody to speak into us. It really requires a heart attitude of, remember that song? Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be, you like it, Taylor? Holy, set apart. But it's that attitude of saying, Lord, refine me. I want to be holy. And having somebody that's iron sharpens iron coming alongside of you is a great step in the right direction to grow in spiritual maturity. Look, we don't want to deal with accountability. We don't want to talk about accountability because we can all do it on our own. But I just close with this passage. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Two are better than one because they have a great reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who was alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Isn't that so poignant? In the context of having accountability and walking together in our Christian life. So a question for us as we close this morning is, do you have somebody that you walk with? You have somebody that you're in relationship in such a way that it's an iron sharpens iron relationship where you're allowing them to speak truth and honest correction and rebuke in your life? Do you have somebody that when you fall down is there to pick you up? Everybody here today needs somebody like that, a friend to walk this Christian life with. So maybe today you just start saying, Lord, I need this. And maybe, I don't know who it is that I need to be in such a relationship with, but Lord, would you make that real and apparent in my life because I long to grow in my maturity as a Christian believer, and I need somebody to walk this walk with me. Not just on Sundays in a big group, but I need somebody to get in my life and hold my feet to the holy flame for your glory. And I said at the beginning, this was a message for believers primarily. And the reason is this, because you can change behavior and you can start doing things. And I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm not going to do those things. But it's not going to matter. Ultimately, the thing that matters is if you're trusting in Christ. Because every one of us is going to fail. There's no perfect accountability partner. There's no perfect person who's ever going to obtain total righteousness. But only Christ, the one who died and who, because of his death, allows us to have life. So for some of you today, and even more than thinking about, okay, how can I start changing my life to be acceptable before God? What you need to ask yourself is, have I trusted in Christ? And if I'm not truly trusting in Christ today, will you turn from your sins and say, Lord, I need Jesus' death to make forgiveness for my sins. And the good news of the gospel is, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of all unrighteousness. Well, let's pray. Lord, I know that for many of us, this idea of accountability is, we kind of push it off and we say, yeah. But Lord, that really is what so many of us need in our lives, to walk and to grow as believers. All those passages in Proverbs that talk about the wise person receives rebuke and correction. Lord, would you give us individuals in our lives that you divinely appoint to speak gracefully and humbly into us truth and correction. Lord, as you begin doing that in this church, would you cause us to be holy? Would you cause that to make a difference in this community? Would others see in us a difference? They wouldn't just say, you're a hypocritical Christian, but they would say, I see in this church people who are truly different because we're truly living out the gospel. Father, thanks for forgiveness. Thanks for the grace of Christ. Thanks for community with other believers. It's in your name we pray. Amen. As Michael